doing tonight, Overflow folks? Oh, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm pumped to be here. It's chilly outside, so I'm happy to be inside in general. If you guys don't know me, my name is Sabrina Astor. I used to work at a church, and now I don't, so now I just have a lot of free time to hang out in ministry, and it's awesome. And I love being here, and I'm actually really lucky to be a part of the speaking team. And like I said, the first time I'm here, my first connection here is because I date the drummer. You can do a woot-woot if you want. No pressure. So tonight, we are continuing our series called In My Feelings. And about 3 weeks ago, we started talking with Surprise. And so we're going to probably have them up on the screen, but these are the six feelings that we're talking about. And they're the six universal feelings. So that means, when I say universal, that means that everybody in the world, no matter your experiences, no matter your life circumstance, no matter where you are locationally, you experience all of these feelings. Like, these are things that everybody experiences. So our first week, we started with surprise. Ryan talked about surprise, and he kind of talked about how surprise is essential in our relationship with God. And it was a really awesome message. And if you want to hear any of the ones that I talk about that aren't tonight, you can listen to them online. And then the next week, I got to talk about happiness, which is always fun. And then we got to talk about sadness, because happiness and sadness go, you know, side by side. And then tonight, I get to talk about anger, because as you look at me, you're like, that chick is an angry person, right? Don't I look like it? No, but I'm actually really pumped to talk about this, because I remember my very first experience being in a church. Like, when I was a new believer, I started believing in the Lord when I was like 18. I went to Young Life Camp. Woot woot for Young Life. But I went to Young Life Camp, and my leader talked to me about Jesus, and I decided to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior at camp. And then about that next fall is when I went to college. And so in college, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to find a church. I'm going to find a community that I love. And so I started, you know, church shopping, as a lot of people call it. It's like you go to a bunch of different churches in your area to figure out, you know, where you want to stay at, if that makes sense. And so I remember doing a lot of that. And one of the first places that I went as a new believer, they talked about Cain and Abel. Has anyone ever heard about that story? It's okay if you haven't. Okay. So Cain and Abel is a story that I heard one of the first times that I went to a church. And it's actually a story really rooted in anger, as you'll see in a second. So I'll give you a little background about that. So this story is actually in Genesis. And very, very, very basically, Cain and Abel were brothers. And Cain became jealous of Abel and eventually murdered him. So, whoa, that's pretty crazy. I shortened that into a very short period of time, but I encourage you to go read through that story yourself if you're interested. But when we chatted through this at church many, many years ago at this church up in the cities that I went to, the guy kept talking about just like how anger leads to just you making bad decisions. And I thought that that was really good, and he used the verse James 1:19 through 20, and it says this, and it'll be on the screen too. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And he kind of, that pastor kind of talked about how this verse, if they would have taken this verse and Cain would have just believed in that, like, nothing would have been wrong. And I was like, okay, like, that would have, he was saying that it would fix the entire situation, that if Cain would have been slower to anger and would have listened more, that he wouldn't have eventually murdered his brother. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, I believe in that in some respects. I'm like, yep, if you're slow to anger, I do believe that there is something that the Lord can do through that. I do believe that. But then I was kind of thought with all these questions, like, I've been angry at people, but I don't want to murder them. Like, I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if I was slower to anger, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I wouldn't murder them eventually. And so I started to really process through this. And when I got asked to talk about anger tonight, I was like, I want to split this up into two things, basically. It's because I think anger is something that we're going to feel. Like, we know that. It's one of the six universal feelings. We're all going to feel it. If you haven't experienced anger, good for you. I have. So I can't relate. But I think that there's two, in a sense, pathways that after you experience anger, I think you take one path or the other. Now, anger doesn't lead towards these, but you decide to take one of these paths. So one of them is anger that leads towards bitterness, and the other one is anger that leads towards forgiveness. And I believe that if you have anger, and once you have anger, you take steps towards one way or the other way. Does that make sense? So I'm actually going to share my own Cain and Abel story for a fun way to express how I've experienced bitterness in my life. So, how many of you guys have been in the Mall of America? You can raise your hand. Great place. Good times. So there's a place on like one of the top floors there. It's like the Moose Mini Golf Place. Have you heard of this? Okay, and if you haven't, it's cool. But a long, long time ago, in the early 2000s, long time ago, that was actually a totally different place. It was called the General Mills Cereal Adventureland. And if I have a picture of this. So, yes, General Mills, your cereal people, had an amazing wonderland of adventure in the Mall of America, in case you didn't know. So, when we first moved to Minnesota, I was about six or so, and this was one of the first places that we went. So my mom one day was like, okay, Jordan's my older brother. Jordan, Sabrina, we're gonna go to the Mall of America and we're gonna have a great time. And I was like, this is awesome, I'm super excited. And so we walked by this and we're like, it's Cereal Adventureland? What? Yes. And so you walk in and there's like cereal you can try. You can try like the new things General Mills is like trying out. Like there was like a vegetable flavored cereal. It was so gross. So like they didn't succeed in that, but it's obviously closed, so it didn't go super well overall. But we went in there and there was like cereals you could try. There was like some kind of fun rides that were like Cocoa Puff inspired. It was kind of cool. And then one thing that you could do is you could go to this photo booth and get your face on a Wheaties box. So I don't know if you guys know what Wheaties are. It's just a type of cereal. I have it right here because I did it, obviously, when I was younger. So this is a picture of Tiny Sabrina and Tiny Jordan. Very cute. You can look at it later if you're interested. So you can do this there. You can go up and you can get a picture and put your face on a Wheaties box. And if you don't think that's cool, that's fine. But I did when I was younger because baseball players used to be on Wheaties boxes and stuff like that. It was just like super cool to do. It's like an early 2000s thing. You know what I mean? We didn't have social media, so that's what we got. So I remember my mom was like, okay, guys, go take a picture. So we go up to the lady that's at the booth, the photographer lady. And she's like, okay, there's a prop table. So you guys can just go pick out whatever props you want. And then you guys can just let me know and we'll go take your picture. So we're like running to the prop table because we're pumped. Like I'm like six, my brother's like 9 or 10. And then he's a little faster than me because he was a little bigger. And he gets there first and he grabs a baseball bat, which is like normally okay. Like he grabs the only baseball bat prop. It wouldn't be a big deal. But I wanted that prop too. I was like, oh, you got the last baseball bat prop? Interesting. So I turn, I look at him and I'm like, Jordan, oh, I wanted that, like every annoying younger sister does. And I was looking at him, I was super mad. And then he goes, well, I got it first. And you guys can say ooh, because that's an ooh feeling. Those are like fighting words for siblings, in my opinion. So I angrily grabbed the trophy, which was the other prop. If you can see in this picture, you probably can't because you're far away. But I was holding a trophy. I grab it, I just like pulled it over and I got to the picture and I was like smiled still cute because I wanted to be cute in the picture. But I remember the whole way home, I just glared at my brother because he was big enough to sit in the front seat and I was in the back and my legs still kind of trying to get out of a booster seat, but my mom said no. So I was sitting in there in my booster seat and I was just staring at him narrow-eyed. I was super mad. And we get home, my mom takes the box, she puts it up on our mantle, and my brother walks over like all in awe because, you know, he's a sweet kid and he looks and he goes, this is so fun. I'm so glad we got to do that. And I turned it and I punched him in the face. I did. I turned and I punched him in the face, you guys. I was the worst kid because I was so mad. I was so mad that he got that prop and I didn't. And I was just like, oh gosh, this guy stinks. But I say all of this not to promote the hitting of your siblings. Don't do that. But I had let the anger that I had at him in the first place lead to a bitterness that I held all the way home. And it got so intense and so full of rage that I punched my brother when he was like trying to be happy about it because I wasn't. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate. Can any of you guys relate to that story, like with a sibling or a friend? Yeah, like we all have our like, you know, punch in the face stories. I get it. But I don't. I just want to talk about this because I think that bitterness is something that's more intense and more lasting, obviously, than anger. Anger is the initial feeling, but it can eventually lead to bitterness, and that's what can lead us to making decisions that hurt others and hurt ourselves. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one falls to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See, bitterness can cause so much trouble in our minds, but also in our relationships, and sometimes even in our relationships with God, which I know might sound weird, like, oh, we have a bitterness towards God, but sometimes we get angry with him, and we believe that the things that have happened in our life are because of him, and because that he did it, that we start to resent him and have a bitterness towards him. And there's actually a really awesome story in the Bible that I want to share, because I heard a message like quite a while ago now about bitterness, and the woman that shared, she talked about Naomi. And I really love the way she kind of talked about bitterness with her. So we're going to talk about her today. She is in the book of Ruth. Has anyone read a lot of the Old Testament and read Ruth before? Yeah, it's kind of a story that I think a lot of girls read. I'm going to be honest. Like, it's cool. We can talk about it. Whatever. I'm a girl. I can talk about it. And I think a lot of girls read it because we want to talk, like, we want to hear about women in the Bible. It's like, encourages us, you know. Woo, go girls. And so Ruth is one that I think a lot of girls read along with Esther. But if you haven't read Ruth and you, or it's been a while, I am actually going to start talking about Naomi and not Ruth today. Because at the beginning of Ruth, I'll give you a little backstory. Naomi is a woman who is married to a man, but he dies, okay? And then she's got two sons with this guy, and then they both get married. So both of her sons marry two women named Ruth. Oh, there's the name that we know. And Orpah is the other one, okay? And then eventually, even later on, so about 10 years after that, both of her sons pass away. So both of Naomi's two sons that were married to the two women, they both die. So who's left in the story is Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Okay, are we tracking along? Cool, I just wanna make sure. And so at this point in the story, we're gonna jump in, and this is when Naomi says to the girls, she says to Ruth and Orpah, she's like, hey, you guys, like, I get your husbands are gone now. If you guys want, you can go back to your families, like before you got married. You don't have to stay with me if you don't want. And Orpah's like, peace out. Okay, she doesn't really say that, but she leaves. She doesn't come with, and we don't hear about her for a while. And then, but Ruth decides to stay with Naomi. So we're reaching at the point in the story where both Ruth and Naomi are going back to Bethlehem because there was a famine in their land, and they heard that the land in Bethlehem is plentiful, okay? So they're kind of going back to that area. And that's where we're going to jump in at Ruth 1:19. It's going to be on the board, but if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you totally can. And it says, so the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So basically, what Naomi is saying is that she believes that the Lord Almighty has dealt unfairly with her. And bitterness means that you believe someone has dealt unfairly with you. So what Naomi does is she tells everybody, no, like, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. And if you're like, okay, why did she change her name? That's super lame. Like, she went from Naomi, which is a sick name, to Mara. What the heck? But the reason for that is because Mara means bitterness. That's actually the translation of it. And so she takes herself and she's like, I am so mad, and I believe that the Lord has dealt with me bitterly, that I'm going to change my name to bitterness, which I think is such a lady thing to do, to be like, oh my gosh, you're so rude. I'm going to be bitter now, and I'm going to name my name. It's going to be now bitterness, which I think is awesome. But that's where we're standing at in the story. And she's so upset, and she doesn't know why she left. She left, and she had a husband, and she had two sons that were both married. They were in this land. It was plentiful. And then she comes back, and she has nothing. And so she has a bitterness towards God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know that in my life, I've had moments like that. Not necessarily where I've changed my name, obviously, but I've had moments in my life where I have been in a spot where I feel like the Lord has given me an unfair hand, or he's dealt with me in a way that I just didn't think was necessary or even deserved. I was like, I thought things were going great, thought things were awesome, and then this thing happened. And I think that this is where Naomi's at. She's in this spot, and she's feeling so full and so excited, and then certain things happen in her life, and she feels like the Lord was bitter with her, when in reality, it's the way that life goes sometimes. So do we let our bitterness go towards Naomi? Like, are we beginning to look like Naomi when we have anger? Are we leading towards this bitterness track? Or are we going on the side of forgiveness, which I'm going to talk about now? The reason I wanted to start with talking about bitterness is because I think that's typically what we do as humans in this world. Like if we have a confrontation or we have anything that we disagree with others, sometimes it's just, okay, like I don't want to talk to you and like I'm gonna be angry or whatever it may be and I'm gonna just choose this bitterness path. And usually it's two-sided. People both are like, I'm bitter, I'm mad. And other times we choose to forgive. I think a really awesome example of that is like in a lot of marriages, you have to choose to forgive sometimes or in relationships because you don't want to always. But a really awesome verse for forgiveness is in Matthew 6, 14, 15. And this is what we're called to do. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, this verse can be kind of confusing because you could be like, oh, wait, I've heard before that if I forgive, then I'm forgiven. But then it's like, I've also heard before that I'm forgiven, so I should forgive. Well, it was actually brought to my attention this past week that it's not necessarily like one or the other, if that makes sense. It's more of like a cycle. You're just constantly called to forgive. And then in return, we are constantly forgiven because we mess up and others mess up. Is that making sense? It's always just a cycle of forgiveness, basically. It's never ending. We just gotta keep doing it, which is awesome. And there's a really cool example in a sense of how we can't always forgive on our own, because the truth of the matter is our flesh, like as a human, we don't wanna forgive. Like when we're angry, we're like, I'm bitter, you wronged me, get out of my life. Like that's a typical thing for us. But with the Lord involved in those relationships and involved in those conversations, we can forgive. A really awesome example is actually in Exodus. So I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about this. So anybody else heard of Moses? So this is the last kind of person I'm gonna talk about today. Moses, a lot of us heard of Moses, right? So we're in Exodus and he is actually on his journey with his people and they come across a place called Mara. Oh, Sabrina, I've heard that word before. Yeah, you did. So it's actually spelt differently in scripture. This Mara is spelt with an H at the end. So it's like those Sarahs who are like, no, I'm Sarah with an H. This is Mara with an H, okay? But it's the same thing. It's talking about bitterness. And the reason for this is because Moses and his people go to this place and they're like, we're thirsty. Like we've been walking for so long. And so they're like, give us some water. Moses, where's that? And so he's like, oh, here's a place where we could get water. And they drink from the water from Mara and it's bitter. And they're like, oh, we can't have this. Like, I can't drink bitter water. And so the people go to Moses and they're like, it's too bitter. What will we drink? Then Moses cries to the Lord and the Lord shows him a log out in Mara and he threw it into the water. So Moses took this log and threw it into the water and then the water became sweet, which I think is cool because I feel like that's a really good example of how we can't do anything, but then when we say, Lord, we need help in this, he can add something to that situation, to that water as an example, and make it sweet. And I think that he does the same thing for us. When we say, Lord, I want to forgive this person, I just don't know how the heck I'm gonna do that. If we add him into the equation, he can show us how, and he can take us on the steps. It's not gonna be like, one day I'm bitter and one day I forgive. It's gonna be like, one day I'm bitter, I'm still bitter, I'm a little less bitter, I'm a little less bitter, I might forgive, okay, I'll forgive. Like, it's a process. And so I think it's really cool. I love that example because I think it just shows the power of when we add the Lord into the equation. Naomi, but from before, let herself in that bitter state for too long. But later in the book of Ruth, Ruth meets a man, really short again, I'm going to shorten this story for you, but Ruth meets a man named Boaz, and Boaz is like, I like this lady, basically, and they get married and they have a son. And then Naomi is blessed, like saying to the Lord, blessed be the Lord. And she's going around, she's talking about how amazing God is. And so it shows when she adds God back into the equation what he can do. And I think that's amazing and super cool. And maybe, like I said, in your life, you don't have a bitterness with God. Maybe you're like, I trust the Lord. Like, I don't fully have an anger towards the Lord. I actually really trust him and I love him. And I feel like in all situations, good or bad, I believe that he's for me. And that's awesome. But maybe your bitterness is towards someone else. Maybe your bitterness is towards a significant other, a friend, an ex, a coworker, a family member, whatever it may be. But in scripture, we are constantly called to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. In Colossians 3:13, it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, and so you must also forgive. See those contradicting pieces from before when we talked about you must forgive to be forgiven, and now it's like you're forgiven, so forgive, which is pretty cool. Or one of my favorite verses, and this is actually, there is some translation things that I've heard differently in this, but my translation says, it's in Matthew. It says, then Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Then Jesus says to him, I do not say 7 times, but I say 70 times 7 times. And whether your translation says 77 times or 7 times 7 times, it doesn't mean like you can only forgive 77 times or 490 times. It just means that you're going to constantly be forgiving your friends. You're going to be constantly forgiving people in your life, and that's what we're called to continually do. Forgiveness is a cornerstone of our relationship with Jesus. Like, think of Ash Wednesday. Like, think of when we talk about our sermons around Easter or something like that. It's always like, we are forgiven because of Jesus. Like, it is a cornerstone of our relationship with God, and that's why it's essential that it's a cornerstone of our life with every relationship that we have. And for some of us, it's so much easier said than done. Who hates confrontation? I looked up at Cody because we talked about this week. It's so true. Like, if you have a bitterness towards someone, that means that you have to have a conversation with them about it. And that's super lame. Like, I am on the same page with you. I get it. And I have had so many times in my life where I don't want to do it. Like, I have a runaway mentality. As some of you may know in this room, like, if I have a conversation, I'm just like, I'm going to leave. I'm not dealing with it. Like, I'm going to close the door on that right now. And we just can't do that. Like, I get it. I totally get it. But as humans, we have to, especially as people who love Jesus and believe in Jesus and want to extend the gospel, we have to have those confrontations in our life because it shows a healthy relationship. It shows what Jesus did in every time that we have those conversations, which I think is really cool, but doesn't make it easier. So I get you. I'm not telling anybody else to do it. It's also something that I have to work on every day. And I think it's maybe your first step. Like, if you're someone in this room right now, and maybe you're thinking of somebody, and if you're not thinking of somebody, maybe you are right now as I'm talking about it. You know what I mean? Maybe you're thinking of somebody and you're like, oh, I have a bitterness towards them. I have an anger towards them. And I want things to be better, but I don't know what to do. And maybe the first step is confronting it and saying, hey, like, I'm angry with you. And then seeing where that goes. Or maybe it's some other confrontation piece where you already have expressed that, but you express, I have a bitterness towards you, I have an anger towards you, I'm frustrated with you, but I want it to be better because I don't want that to be our lives. I don't want that to be our relationship. And that's something that I want us to think about as we head into worship. So if the band wants to come up, you may come up because we're going to about to worship through music in just a second here. But there's some things I want us to think about as we head into that time. I first want us to think about if there's a person in our lives, what it could be God too. If there's a person in our lives that we have a bitterness towards, or we have an anger towards, and we want that to be different. We want to change that in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's someone that we haven't talked to in like 5 years. Maybe it's someone that we see every day and we just like look at them and we're like, oh, that person. You know what I mean? It could be any of those things. And then where are you at? Where are you at with your bitterness versus forgiveness? Do you feel like with that person, you're on the side of forgiving them? Or do you feel like you still want to be bitter with them? And either way, how can you change that? If you still have a bitterness, how can we get you towards a forgiveness track? How can you get yourself? And how can you be praying through that with the Lord? I believe that the Lord is calling us to be forgiving people and to trust him in every process, but it's always our first step. It's our choice of what we'll do.